O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they plot deception. I am like a deaf man who cannot hear, like a mute who cannot open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my foot slips. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity, I am troubled by my sin. Many are those who are my vigorous enemies. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil slander me when I pursue what is good. O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the fact that you desire us to come to you, we who rebel against you with our sin. We thank you for Christ who hath clothed us with his righteousness. Lord, as we hear your word this morning, help us to grasp the ugliness of sin. Help us to realize the gravity of the natural human condition apart from you and under your wrath. And help us to run to you for mercy, that we may praise you and glorify your name because of Christ. And help me to be faithful to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we heard a message on the joy of forgiveness in Psalm 32. Both Psalm 32 and 38 are penitential psalms, meaning that the author expresses penance, sorrow, and regret for his sin, and he repents before the Lord. Last week, the psalmist expressed the joy of knowing that his sins were forgiven. And this morning we're going to look at Psalm 38, which expresses in detail the anguish we often experience because of sin. This psalm focuses on the effect of our sin when we are confronted with all of its ugliness, and then demonstrates how we can turn to God, our only hope of salvation. I'd like to start by telling you a story about the film Annihilation. I don't recommend it for everyone. In the movie, an object from space falls to Earth and it creates a kind of a bubble in a large area called the Shimmer, which is gradually expanding. A military team goes to investigate and they don't come back. Then another group of scientists enters the bubble to find out what's happened. At first, everything seems rather normal. They find themselves in the middle of a forest that's remarkably peaceful. But they discover that some of the living things in the Shimmer have started to change. At first, these changes seem innocent and actually quite beautiful. A plant with one type of flower starts producing multiple types of flowers. But over time, it becomes clear that the object from space is changing the DNA of the living things in the Shimmer, sometimes changing the DNA completely, and sometimes combining living things together. And much worse changes start to happen. The team is attacked by a crocodile with rows of shark teeth. A bear's DNA becomes merged with its prey. And people start dying as their bodies change in unnatural ways. Everything is distorted. What I found particularly harrowing about the film is that it's almost a true story. Except it wasn't an object from space that distorted everything, as it was meant to be. It was me. It was us. When God created the earth, and he made the trees and the animals, he designed them to reproduce after their kind. There was order there. There is no death, no pain, no coronavirus. God called his creation good. But everything changed because of us when we sinned and death entered the world. We disobeyed God by trying to take his place, trying to run our life our own way without him, which we all do by default today. We were banished from the garden that God made for us to care for, and death became a reality for the first time. Annihilation is an effective horror film because our DNA reflects the order and goodness of God's creation. A change to something that God has designed can be horrifying, and especially so when we realize that we are responsible. Fortunately, there's hope. Hope from God who created all things to be good, and shows abundant mercy to us who have rebelled against him. Psalm 38 starts as David pleads to God for mercy, God who is justly angry. Let me read the first 8 verses for us. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. These two stanzas repeat a lot of the same ideas. Psalm 38 is repeating these strong feelings to help us understand what David is going through. David starts by asking the Lord for mercy from the punishment that he's experiencing. He's being punished by God, as the arrows in verse 2 describe. This probably also has to do with the wounds that he speaks about in verse 5. David is experiencing consequences of his sin at the hand of God, and he pleads for mercy. David feels so terrible because of his sin that there's no health in his body. He feels it deep down in his very bones in verse 3. In verse 7, his back is filled with searing pain, and his whole body feels the impact of his sin. Finally, David describes the feelings of guilt that he has, like a heavy burden in verse 4, and in 8, he feels utterly crushed. So David is feeling the consequences of God's punishment for his sin. He mourns the sin to the extent that his whole body and his health have gone to waste, and he feels a crushing weight of guilt because he knows it's all his fault. Have you ever felt the way that David feels in this psalm when thinking about your sin? Have you ever felt like you've been pierced through with an arrow? Or felt the dread of sin in what feels like your very bones? Have you felt a weight of guilt deep inside knowing what you've done? I know I have. When the Psalms speak in this type of language, often they express things in hyperbole or express things like it's actually happening to them physically. But when it comes to sin and guilt, sometimes we can actually feel it in a real physical way sometimes. But at other times, we don't feel the way that the psalmist feels. Sometimes, maybe we become accustomed to a particular sin and we've pushed away that guilt. Or we know that we're covered with grace, so we don't really think about the consequences anymore. Or maybe we don't actually feel that the sin is all that bad. It can be helpful to think about why sin is bad, because this can lead us to the emotional place the psalmist is in Psalm 38. So I'm going to spend some time this morning trying to help us grasp the disastrous problem of sin. First, let's talk about the wrath of God. In the first verses of this psalm, David pleads to the Lord for mercy. In verses 2 and 3, it's clear that it's the Lord who's inflicting suffering on the psalmist. God's arrows have pierced him, and God's hand has come down upon him. God's punishment has fallen on David. We recently finished a series at Ambassador on Habakkuk, and in Habakkuk we see the wrath of God on display as the terrible Babylonians are used by God to inflict judgment on the Israelites for their wickedness and injustice. Our God loves justice, and evil will not go unpunished. The message in Habakkuk would have been terrifying to the Israelites. God had previously used Israel, God's holy people, to carry out judgment on other people groups, the land of Canaan and the Canaanites there. The Israelites were supposed to be holy, a special people of God. They were called to be righteous and given God's laws to guide them. But in Habakkuk, the same thing that happened to the evil Canaanites was going to happen to Israel. They'd be conquered and removed from the land by a terrifying army. They were God's special people, but they were not exempt from punishment. In the same way, the author of this psalm is a very special king. David was a man after God's own heart, and God had promised David that one of his descendants would reign forever. David was the forefather of Jesus, the Messiah, who would save his people and rule eternally. Yet even David experiences God's anger for his sin. Like Israel in Habakkuk, David's sin is not exempt from judgment, and David pleads for mercy. God is perfect in all of his attributes, perfect in righteousness, perfect in glory, perfect in wisdom and in power and love, and God is also perfect in his wrath. God must be perfect in his wrath, or else he would not be perfect in love and righteousness. If God loves justice, he must punish injustice. So David is experiencing pretty intense suffering in this psalm. Is whatever he's done wrong really deserving of all of that? But let's think about what sin really is here for a moment. While all of creation is distorted because of sin, as we heard from the example from Annihilation, death and disease are not really the reason why sin is bad. Sin is ultimately a rejection of God, a rejection of all that he is. John Piper, in his sermon, The Greatest Thing in the World, says that sin is like a revolver in the face of God. It's primarily about God. John Piper describes sin in that sermon as follows. What is sin? It is the glory of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved, that is sin. When have we ever acknowledged any of these attributes perfectly? We were made to glorify God. Sin is not merely the active pursuit of evil. Sin is also the failure to fully recognize the perfection of God in all that he is and has designed. Sin is about God, and it's a spiritual problem. The physical effects of sin do have a purpose, like the punishment that David is feeling in Psalm 38. Death and the coronavirus and any of the other terrible things that we see around us can be a reminder of how bad sin is. I'm going to quote from John Piper again because he has a lot of true things to say about sin. In his new book, Coronavirus in Christ, Piper offers an explanation to why we may see physical judgment on the world as a result of the moral issue of sin. He writes, God put the physical order under a curse so that the physical horrors we see around us in diseases and calamities would be a vivid picture of how horrible sin is. In other words, physical evil is a parable, a drama, a signpost pointing to the moral outrage of rebellion against God. Will we see and hate the God-demeaning moral ugliness of sin? If we don't, it will not be because God has not provided vivid portrayals of it in physical misery, like the coronavirus. Therefore, God is mercifully shouting to us in these days, wake up! Sin is against God is like this. It's horrible and ugly and far more dangerous than the coronavirus. Sin is terrible because it rejects the God that deserves glory. The result of sin is horrifying because it's the source of all misery on earth. When we realize how terrible sin is, we know that we deserve God's wrath in all of its perfection. In Psalm 38, it seems like God's the only one who knows what the psalmist is going through. Let's look at verses 9 to 11. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds, my strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. In verse 9, David uses parallelism to drive home the fact that God sees these things that David is going through. In verse 10, he again repeats the emotional and physical impact that David's sin has had on him. In verse 11, David has no one to sympathize with his situation. People are avoiding him. David's sin has resulted in punishment, and this punishment has resulted in David's friends and companions keeping their distance. The guilt of sin can be a very lonely thing. But there are some people around. Let's continue with verse 12. Those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long they plot deception. I am like a deaf man who cannot hear, like a mute who cannot open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. David always seems to have enemies, and in this situation they're taking full advantage, as it says in verse 12. They opportunistically seek his ruin and plan traps for him. But because of what he's going through, David has nothing to say in verses 13 and 14. The attacks of David's enemies mean little compared to his suffering because of his sin. Perhaps David feels that he's not in a position to defend himself about anything because he's done something so bad. Or perhaps he's even being rightly accused for whatever he's done wrong. Who do you turn to when your friends abandon you and when others try to take advantage of the situation? Well, David seeks God, God who is punishing him. See verse 9. David is expressing feelings that God already knows about. His friends may have no idea about the suffering that David's going through, but his enemies seek to gain advantage. In contrast, God knows and cares, and David tells God about it, what God already knows about. It's helpful to do this, to express these things to God as we confess our sin and plead for forgiveness. It reminds us that we can't hide anything from God, and it also reminds us that while we may feel that we're suffering alone, God knows and sees. In the midst of being punished by God for rebellious acts against him, we can still turn to God for mercy because of his compassion for us. Often, when we feel that we've sinned, God is the last person that we want to talk to. After all, God hates sin and we've just offended him by it. But that's exactly what Satan the accuser wants us to feel. Satan tells us that we're not worthy to come before God, that we've messed up too many times, or he tries to convince us that maybe we're not Christians at all. Satan is right that we're not worthy on our own to come before God. But we do have the blood of Christ as evidence of payment for our sin. And we stand justified before God if we've accepted the sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. And God desires that we come to him. The anguish that we may experience because of sin is not God's wrath in all of its intensity, but his discipline if we're believers, like a father training his children. We must seek God when we sin. Our God is perfect in wrath, but he's also merciful. This leads us to the last section of the psalm. Let's read verses 15 to 22. I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my foot slips. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many are those who are my vigorous enemies. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay me good with evil slander me when I pursue what is good. O Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, O Lord my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord my Savior. David waits for the God of salvation. Even though this is the God he has wronged with his sin, even though this is the God who is punishing him, God is David's only hope, and he will answer, as it says in verse 15. In verse 18, David confesses his iniquity as he's troubled by his sin. Last week, Miles talked about different words for sin, and iniquity, he said, was distorting what is right. And this is what David recognizes that he's done. In verses 21 and 22, David asks that God not be far from him, that God would come to help him. David wants the closeness of his relationship with God to be restored. At times, it might feel that God is distant because of our sin, and this can actually help us to experience a taste of what the consequences of sin can be, a separation from God. These feelings can spur us to seek the closeness of God again, and that's what God desires for us. 1 John 1, 8-9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Sin fails to recognize who God is. But when we seek the Lord and his forgiveness after we sin, we recognize that God is merciful. We savor God's goodness and we cherish God's grace. When we throw ourselves down before his throne, confessing that he's holy and we're not, we reject sin by recognizing God's character in offering us forgiveness. David knew in Psalm 38 that the Lord was both the one inflicting just punishment for his sin and his only hope of salvation. The Jewish people offered sacrifices for sins, but as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, it's impossible for the blood of goats and bulls to take away sins. While David did not yet know about Jesus, he was confident that confessing his sin would result in forgiveness. We can be confident as well because we know that Jesus, the Son of God, being God and therefore perfect, was a sufficient sacrifice in our place. God's justice could be fulfilled when his wrath was poured out on Christ, as we stand justified because of the righteousness of Jesus. Our relationship with God is secure because of Christ. A lot of you will know I just recently became a father. My son Ewan is with Zoe in the States now, waiting to come back to Hong Kong, and I miss them very much. People told me before Ewan was born that you form a special connection with your children, and I found that to be true. I love Ewan very much. This has helped me to realize more fully what God did for us in sending his son to die in our place as punishment for our sins. I could never imagine willingly letting Ewan die for anyone, but that's what the Lord has done for us. If we're Christians, we should remember that our relationship with God is secure because of Christ. Sin is serious, and the wrath of God is perfect in fitting the disastrous crime of our rebellion. But because God loves us so much, he's provided a way of salvation from his own fully just and perfect wrath. As a result, our sins are washed clean, and we can approach the Father as he desires us to do, and as David does in Psalm 38. If you're not a Christian, I hope that David's feelings towards the things he has done has resonated with you. It's important for all of us to recognize the reality of how bad sin is. But God also offers the free gift of salvation through Christ that we can experience if we come to Him, confessing our sin and accepting the gift of Jesus' righteousness in its place. So in conclusion, it's important to remember that sin is terrible and to recognize that it's serious because it's against God. Even though Christians are under God's grace, covered by the blood of Christ, we should grasp the seriousness of sin. We also need to remember that while God judges sin and may discipline us for our sin, God is the one we should turn to when we do sin. Recognizing God's grace by confessing our sin and pleading for forgiveness is honoring God for His perfect character. Finally, let's lean on the God of salvation who loved us and sent His own Son to take the punishment of God's wrath in our place, that His glory might be displayed. As a result, we can be free from our sin, and as Christians, we can remember that we are already justified before Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You because You are worthy of glory. So many times we fail to recognize that You are glorious as we go our own way, as if we know what's best and You do not. Lord, our sin is serious. Help us to feel and to understand the tragedy of sin that we might plead for mercy. Help us to remember that You see all that we go through and that You love us, desiring that we come to You and confess our sin. We ask that You would help us to rejoice at the forgiveness that You offer through the blood of Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.